Good evening, everybody. This is Michael Collins
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Michael Collins of Journey to Success Radio. I am an author of the book Ushering in the Golden Age. I'm a certified Napoleon Hill leadership trainer, and I also interview on Blog Talk Radio. To find out more about me, visit my website, www.michaelmichaelrobincollins.com. And tonight, I have the pleasure of talking with Suzanne O'Brien. Suzanne O'Brien is an author. She's a Reiki master. She communicates with pet psychic, so she communicates with pets. She's a belly dancer, and she does healing work of all types of energy healing work. Good evening, Suzanne. How are you?
Oh, good evening, Michael. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. So, Suzanne, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Tell them a little bit about what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, Michael covered a lot of it. I live in Jersey, and I'm a graduate of Montclair State. Not that that has anything to do with what I do now.
Okay.
I'm a Reiki master, so I teach classes. I teach classes in person here in Jersey, and I also have an online Reiki master home study course. So if you can't make it to a class, you can always learn at your own pace online. I've also taken all sorts of energy healing over the years, so reconnective healing, medical intuition, a little Ho'oponopono, all types of healing, quantum touch. And I do pet readings, usually from a distance, just from photos. I've been an artist ever since I was like 2 years old when I first started drawing things in art classes since I was seven, have a degree in art, and belly dancing since I was a teenager. I also have a at-home learn-to-belly-dance course online as well. So I still paint, always been a lover of animals, and I'm an ex-stockbroker, and I think that about covers it right now.
Okay.
And recently, an author. I have a new book that's just coming out this week.
Okay, so it sounds like you're doing a lot. Suzanne, the first question I want to ask you, because I know from reading your book that you were a stockbroker, and there was an event in your life that basically transitioned you from being a stockbroker and took you more into the healing arts. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yes. Well, like I said, I had been an animal lover, so I had been working with animals. A lot of it was volunteer, though. I worked a lot with rehabbing animals, and what that is like, you know, you find an animal in the road who's been hit by a car, or, you know, a cat had gotten it, or some injury, a bird flew into your window. Well, where do you take these animals? Because they don't belong to somebody. There are wildlife rehab centers, and I used to work at those. Sometimes I used to make $50 a day if they had it in their budget, and otherwise it was volunteer. So I wasn't making very much, but I always did what I loved. So I guess you could say I was a surrogate mama bird for a long time, or mama raccoon, or mama opossum, whatever it was. I also then went to school to be a veterinary tech, and I worked as a veterinary technician. Also, again, the pay was not very great. So I answered an ad in the paper one day to be a stockbroker. And basically, to be a stockbroker, it's you get a firm to, they have to, I guess, support you. What do they call it? Sponsor you to take your Series 7.
You
I took Series 7. I passed right away, so I was hired. As it turned out, after I had been a broker, I think about a year, well, I had just gotten health insurance. I only had it for 6 months. When, I had to wait 6 months to get it. Then after I did get it, a month later is when I found out I had a brain tumor. And I found out because, you know, you're always calling people on the phone when you're a broker. And I couldn't hear. I'd lost my hearing. So I wound up needing to go have surgery. I did not know anything about holistic healing at the time. So when they told me it was a brain tumor, it had grown into my brain stem. I already had lost my hearing. I was getting sick every morning at times. Passing out. So I decided, yeah, it's, I guess, serious. So I went and had the surgery. And, well, I woke up in the ICU, and I remember the nurse, name was Susan. She was pinching my fingers and asking me if I could hear her, to blink, if I could feel her pinching me to blink or move a finger. And then the anesthesiologist was at my feet pinching my toes, asking me if I could feel it to move a finger or blink my eye. And I did. The last thing I remember him saying was, phew, I thought we lost her for a minute there. Next thing I know, I wake up. It's a day later. I'm in my own room, and it must have been pre-dawn because it was still dark, but there was a light shining in my room. I was right next to the nurse's station, and I was in excruciating pain when I woke up. I thought my head was just going to explode. Couldn't move my head at all. My face was in pain. But there was a lot that had happened. It disfigured my face and twisted my face horribly, and I didn't know that that was going to happen. They didn't warn me of that beforehand. They also had taken muscle out of my neck to cover the hole in the back of my head. So I have a space in the back of my head that doesn't even have skull. I didn't know they were going to do that.
Right.
I guess you just picture them, very neatly taking a little hole of the skull out and then gluing it back in, but that's not the way it works. I guess they drill it and it turns to dust. So they covered the hole with my muscle for my neck. So there was a lot of pain that I wasn't, prepared for when I woke up. I went into a panic and thought, oh my gosh, the pain. And now I also wasn't totally prepared to come back. I guess I had prepared myself for maybe passing away, going home, in heaven.
Okay.
So I was a little disappointed when I woke up and had to deal with all this pain. And at that very moment, I had a being appear in my room. And when I say being, I come to call her my guardian angel. The minute she appeared, there was just the most incredible peace. It was like being overwhelmed, overcome with unconditional love, joy, peace, serenity. There aren't even words to describe it. It was so overwhelming. And the pain was gone. And it didn't last very long. She then disappeared. And at that very moment she disappeared, a nurse walked in my room saying, oh, good, you're up. She wanted to take all my vitals, check everything. And she was all prepared to give me a painkiller and kept saying, no, I didn't need it. And she was just, in shock. Like, what do you mean you don't need it? You of course you need it. I'm like, no, I don't. And I was in the hospital for 10 days, and I kept turning down the any kind of painkiller. So I just didn't need it. She thought I was going to have to go to rehab and relearn how to walk and how to talk and how to, brush my teeth and do everything. And I didn't. In fact, a couple days after the surgery, something was telling me, get up, get up, get up. So I got up, and I went for a little walk down the hall, and the nurses we're not happy with this. Like, you're not supposed to be doing that without us. What are you doing? I was like, but I can. And they're like, no, get back in bed. Get back in bed. I thought it was kind of funny now that I think back on it, but I'm sure they didn't think it was funny at the time. But
now, let me ask you this. When you were on the operating table, did you die at any time? Did you lose all consciousness?
I remember nothing. I know. People keep saying, having the angel appear, and I just know that feeling was taste of heaven. She gave me a taste of heaven. I know that feeling. That's what it was, because it lasted 9 months after. I had all sorts of freaky phenomena happening afterwards, and people say my whole disposition changed.
When you say freaky phenomena, just explain to the listeners what you mean by freaky phenomena.
I guess one of the first things was objects floating, moving on their own. I mean, when you see an object just suddenly lift off a table and float in midair and fly across the room, it was mind-blowing.
Now, let me ask you this. You say mind-blowing, but were you using your mind to move the objects, or they just got up on their own?
They just got up on their own. No, I didn't try in any way. And that was what was bizarre. Most of the first time something like that happened, it's as if the objects came flying at me. Then it was as if inches before they hit me, they suddenly move in another direction.
Right.
Which is, you know, I mean, you know, just physics, the objects don't go suddenly one way and then all of a sudden midair turn and go another way. It was as if, like, I was being protected from something. It was odd. I then actually found out psychokinesis.
Yes.
Maybe something like a poltergeist. What this is, you know, psychokinesis is where they feel it, you know, somebody's moving something with their mind. However, poltergeist is maybe like some unresolved issue.
Okay.
Some unresolved emotions in you that you're not dealing with or let have somehow weren't exactly a part of me anymore, had left, and they were causing things to move. You know, poltergeist, I think people think of as a ghost, but it's a part of a person that detaches, is what I've learned.
It's a part of their emotional body?
Yeah, like an emotional body, yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's as if I could not get angry. I could not get scared. My fear left. My anger left. If I looked at somebody, it didn't matter who they were or what they did, I just saw, like, their soul, like, you know, their connection to God. I couldn't see evil or bad in anything. So I'm thinking whatever had been in me left, and it was just flipping out and making things
right.
Fly all over. It has since stopped. I don't know how it stopped, but I actually found out from some paranormal investigators, because I didn't know what was going on, we called people in, that this type of phenomena is actually very common. Well, most people know in teenagers it can happen when people go through puberty, but next to that, people who have either brain or heart surgeries or trauma.
Okay.
This is very common in, and I didn't know that. So it's something the medical community, I guess they don't accept, and they never even mention it, but something that does happen.
Okay. And with all that happening, and you changed your emotionals where you say you're not looking at people from a standpoint of fear or being afraid, how do you look at people today? Has that carried with you since the surgery? And what year was the surgery in?
Well, the surgery was in 97, so it has been a while.
Yes.
And, it's not as, like, I mean, it was like I was just floating, as if, like, I had been drugged.
Right.
For close to a year. I still say I don't have fear of people. I mean, I do recognize now a little more that maybe there are some people who, you know, you maybe don't want in your inner circle.
Right.
You know, people who are acting very deceitful or very lying, you know, I can... Now, still, I maybe don't pick up on that so much because, you know, when you're only looking at the good, that all disappears to you. But
right.
I can actually say that, yeah, I still have a very peaceful, calm outlook. I mean, the fear overall, when I think about, you know, what is the absolute worst that can happen? Death. And I just know that that feeling is where we're heading.
Right.
That's heaven, that place, that feel. I actually do think it is a place you go to, but it overwhelms you with that feeling. So what is there to be afraid of? Absolutely nothing. Why? Why not just go for what you love, do what makes you happiest? Because if that's where we're all heading, there's absolutely nothing to fear. Nothing. Absolutely
okay.
Nothing. So enjoy every day.
So my next question to you, do you feel that heaven is a place where people go to after they die, or do you feel that heaven is a state of consciousness, and once we reach that state of consciousness, we find peace in the way that we deal with people, the planet, animals, everything else shifts after that point?
I was given a taste of it, and I was still here.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I walked around with it for quite a while. No, I was raised Catholic. It's totally not like everything, you know, where we're taught. We're taught that it is the place, the actual visible, you know, physical place. But I think it's a spiritual place. Maybe it's another dimension is what I feel it is. I feel it when, but I do feel that, you know, we can consciously get into that dimension here when we're still
right.
in a physical body, because I've tasted it. I was still in my physical body. I think it's easier to be there when we lose our bodies, obviously. yes, I do think we can get there and have our heaven on earth. It really takes getting rid of all fear, though. That's the main thing. The main thing that stands in the way is fear. And everybody seems to have a fear of something.
Right, because, you know, what I know is that we're either in a state of fear or love. And so when we give up that state of fear, we then can completely love.
Yes, it's unconditional love, though. Like, regardless what someone's done to you, to be able to be completely forgiving of them.
Right.
And I know it's a little difficult in this world because, you know, to be honest, I mean, there are people who are a little dangerous. You see some of the things that people do. So you still want to be unconditionally loving towards them. But like I said, maybe not always welcome people into your inner circle. It's somebody who's been very deceitful and just continues on that path. Because I had an experience with somebody like that a few years ago, and no matter how I tried to be unconditionally loving and forgiving again and again and again, just was not a trustworthy person at all.
Right.
And so, but yet still, I still have a lot of concern and compassion towards this person, but and for all people, you know, that's another point we've got to get to as just all of us. I mean, even when there are people in the world who are committing heinous crimes and terroristic acts, to be loving and forgiving of the acts. It doesn't mean you're condoning the acts, but the soul, you've got to forgive that soul. That's the only way. You know, people are going to evolve.
Exactly.
And I believe it was even Jesus who taught we're supposed to love our enemies, because there really aren't any enemies. We all come from the same one place. And love heals everything, that much I know.
Yep.
I don't know if anybody's ever heard of a Dr. Hugh Len, H-E-W-L-E-N.
Right. I was just going to ask you a question about Dr. Hugh Len, because that's Ho'oponopono.
Yes.
And so when somebody comes to you, and you say that they don't have, you know, they're not trustworthy. Do you ask yourself what inside of you is not trustworthy and then start clearing it as opposed to focusing on the feeling that you get from that other person, but asking yourself what's inside of you that's creating this reaction, that's creating this emotion, this flow in that moment?
Yes, I've worked on that quite a lot. For those who don't know, Ho'oponopono, it's a way of accepting that every single thing that happens in our life happens because there is some part of us that is allowing it to happen. If you notice it, there's some part of us that allowed it to happen. So if you notice that there's a war going on, there's some part of us that helped to create it. If you notice that somebody was kidnapped, there's some part of us that allowed it to happen. Every single little thing. It isn't even just personal things. So what Ho'oponopono teaches is that you feel that emotion, that behavior brings up in you. You then go to divinity, is what they call it, God, Great Spirit, whatever you call it. And you, four phrases you use, you tell God that you're sorry, you ask for forgiveness, tell him you love him or her, and then you say thank you, accepting that it has been cleared. But you do this again and again and again and again till you get to a point where you can just, you know, look at this people, the situation, and not have that negative emotion well up in you. And what I've learned from this is that if it is a person in your personal life, either they will heal or they will cease to be in your personal circle.
Right. And I believe with Dr. Hulin, the story goes that he treated psychological prisoners in the most heinous prison in Hawaii. he never saw prisoners, but he saw their records and just read over their records, and whatever emotions it brought up in him, he saw it in himself and started clearing it out in himself. And as he started to clear it out in himself by law of vibration, it started to resonate with the prisoners. And then after a period of time, these most heinous criminals were rehabilitated, and they had to close the prison because there were no more prisoners in there. So it's a very powerful thing, because as an energy healer, you know that we're all vibration. And when we start changing our own vibration and start to, you know, love ourselves, forgive ourselves, be sorry, and be in gratitude, then we really start to shift the whole consciousness of everything. And as Dr. Hulin says, so many times we're just replaying data, and to the point when we start to clear that, we come to inspiration. And that inspiration is that point where we get free. We get free, and then we can really be ourselves, and we can really stand in love.
Yes, exactly. He actually calls it getting back to the void, to the place where we're at, you know, level ground again. Like you said, we're playing things over and over. Like if you had something happen to you in the past, you kind of get conditioned to thinking, well, that's the way it's always going to be. Well, if you grew up and there was a war, well, that's just the way the world is. It's always going to be. So, yeah, it's like these things we've got to clear in ourselves constantly. And that's what he teaches. And clearing it in yourself will clear it in the others. One thing you said is that he never even had to be near the patients when he did this. He looked at their records. The one thing that makes me wonder why it was so powerful with him, because he does teach us that we'll have to, you know, fall away from your life. Those prisoners couldn't get away. They were locked in a prison. So,
right.
You know, they were, you know, they didn't have a choice, but if he was clearing in him, they were going to heal. And that
That's
is what
right.
happened. I think they said all but maybe one or two. But they actually made him a national treasure. I think he got some sort of award as a national treasure of Hawaii.
Well, I have to say, I took the class with Dr. Hulin, and he was one of the most peaceful people that I've ever met. His whole demeanor was just nothing but calm. It was a pleasure and an honor to be in his presence.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that he even walks into a room and he's even like communicates with, you know, chairs, the tables, the floor. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving me a place to sit. Thank you. I mean,
right.
Everything is coming from a place of
gratitude
and gratefulness. And if you think about it, I mean, everything that we make, that we create, I mean, where do a lot of the furniture come from? There's got to be something of the earth originally that it came from. So that means that there is some, if God is omnipresent in every single thing that was created, God's in the earth, God's in the leaves, the trees, plants. So if there's anything that was created from any of this, there's a part of God in it. From what I've read, that's what it makes me walk away with. Like, you know, we should be thankful for even the objects,
exactly.
Which I know is probably pretty foreign to a lot of people.
Right, and as an energy healer, let's get back to that point, because as an energy healer, you recognize that everything has energy in it, from a rock to a person to a divine being. We all have energy in us. And just talk to the audience a little bit about how you work with that energy.
Okay. Like I said, omnipresence. So it's actually been proven that everything does not only has energy, but is made of pure energy. When you break it down, when I teach my healing classes, I usually start with saying, okay, now, if we say we look at just our skin, what is the skin made of? Okay, you can say lots of cells. And then you say, okay, but what's in those cells? And you can go through all the parts. But basically we get down to the nucleus and the DNA, and what's the DNA made of? Strands, which are protein pairs, and you break those down, you get into atoms and something called quarks, and then it's energy. And the energy they've actually found is light, which vibrates at different frequencies. And we've all seen this. If you've ever seen a rainbow, that's actually white light, but when it's refracted, it's all the different colors. So white light is actually made up of every single color. The different colors vibrate at different frequencies, and what make us all different is the vibration at which we vibrate. As humans, we're all close in vibration. We are closer to each other in vibration than, say, we are to a cat. We're closer in vibration to a cat than we, say, are from a crystal, just because, you know, we're animals, but, you know, crystalline is mineral. So even objects, though, like I said, because everything is energy, there's a vibration. It's a very much slower energy. They say there isn't really a consciousness, but I'm not so sure of that. You know, they have a slower vibration, and some of, you know, things
right.
that move around, the creatures, animal life, plant life would be.
Let me ask you this question.
Hmm?
As a psychic, when you look into different things like a crystal, a person, an animal, can you actually see the rate that they're vibrating at?
I'm not one of those people. I mean, I do at times, if I intend to do it, see or sense the energy, like my colors in the aura.
Right.
With me, though, I'm kind of a empath, I guess you'd say.
Okay.
I very often, when I do healing, and I don't have to be anywhere near the person or the pet, I'll look at a photo, and I'll suddenly get a pain or an ache or some sort of feeling, maybe a nauseative feeling, or something in my body. It's as if, like, I'm able to, I don't know, become that person or become that pet and feel what their body's feeling. So that's also one of the things that happened since the surgery. I didn't really have to study for that to happen. That was happening. It's like I studied to learn what the heck is going on with me.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not what I actually am taking on for them, although this past year has been a little different from all the other years because I've started really working with the energy, I guess, back in 2001, 2002.
Okay.
But in the past year, I've had some people that have asked me for healing, and afterwards, I've wound up being so incredibly sick. And
right.
I know this might make people think, oh, my gosh, why would I ever want to do that then? But what I've found that happens, if I get really sick, I can almost guarantee the next day that other person's going to be feeling a lot better.
Right.
And it's only happened with people who, I mean, were seriously ill. I worked with a woman who was in a coma. Her niece contacted me and wanted me to send her healing because she said she... doctors had no hope for her, and
right.
she wasn't ready to say goodbye. And so I did the healing from a distance, and afterwards it started as a headache, and then the next day I was just vomiting all day.
Right.
And after that I got a call saying she had come out of the coma, actually then wound up going home perfectly fine, and they said it was a miracle. I wonder if at times it's maybe subconsciously somehow I've agreed to take on some karma for some
okay.
people when they're ill.
Still
a little mind-boggling to me. It's very humbling. I also believe that it's not me who's doing the healing. I completely believe it's not me because I have such a belief in, you know, divinity, God, I call him God, working through me, that I'm just, you know... If they need me to get in a certain place, a certain vibration, a certain frequency, and think about the healing for them, think about them being in perfect health, and letting God use my body, my field, my energy field, if that's what they need to do. And I do feel that, you know, that is something that they need to do. I mean, maybe they can, you know, send the angels at times, but a lot of times they like to work through us to affect the healing. So it's always God doing the healing.
I understand that. Let me ask you, Suzanne, what would you say is your purpose in life? What is your calling? What is your heart calling out for you to do on your time on this planet?
Well, I know it's healing. You know, healing can mean many different things to people. Sometimes it is people who have an illness, even if it's just feeling overwhelmed, feeling stress. My passion, I had felt, was always pets. Started doing pet readings and thinking that, oh, maybe this isn't my path because it's not healing. What I'm finding is, oh, no, when you can help a person who is just so upset and worried over things going on with their pet, comfort them, to bring them a little more understanding of maybe how their pet is feeling or what their pet is thinking, that's also a healing thing.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm doing everything that I love, what I feel guided to do. And I also have to say, after the surgery, and I started learning about, because I had so many things coming up and happening, a lot of the things that were happening is that, after the things flying around, dreams were coming up all the time, that a lot of times then would happen. And then it was hearing, actually hearing, in my deaf ear, because my tumor was on my hearing nerve, so my hearing nerve is gone. I don't have a hearing nerve in my one ear, my left ear. I would hear little whispers in an ear of people that I had known, like my grandmother. When my dad passed, I was hearing him. so I wanted to know what was going on there. And when I something called mediumship, talking with those who passed on, I kept continually getting messages from relatives I know who had passed on, that I was to do healing work, and that, you're not doing it, why aren't you doing it? And I was a stockbroker, and I thought, well, how do you, I need to make a living, that's why I'm not doing it, I don't understand, what do you mean, healing? it took me a while to, you know, get the hang of what they were talking about, and to, you know, make the change.
Right. Let me ask you this. You have a very beautiful quote in the beginning of your book. I was just looking for it, about the healing. And right now, just to let everybody know, this is Michael Collins of Journey to Success Radio. I'm speaking with Suzanne O'Brien, and she's the author of the book, A Heavenly Presence. And she's launching the book on May 1st. That's in 2 days. And Suzanne, why don't you give everybody your website? And because she's asking everybody to go to her website on May 1st and purchase the book and make her a best-selling author. And I think already by just hearing some of Suzanne's story, feeling her passion and her love for people, for animals, and for helping people, I encourage everybody to go out and help make this book a bestseller.
Oh, thank you. The website is aheavenlypresence.com/BK promo. So that's aheavenlypresence, presence.com/BK promo.
Okay. And Suzanne, the quote that I was talking about, and this is in your introduction, there are no unnatural or supernatural phenomenon, only very large gaps in our knowledge of what is natural. We should strive to fill those gaps of ignorance. And this is by Edgar D. Mitchell, a former U.S. astronaut and the founder of the Institute of Noetic Science. Just elaborate a little bit what that quote means to you, Suzanne.
Oh, I love that quote. And I was so excited when I wrote to him and I asked if it would be possible for me to use his quote in my book, and I got the okay. I was like, oh, it's thrilled. I'm like, oh, a U.S. astronaut gave me the okay. But anyways, yes, I love that quote because I believe that we all have these latent abilities laying dormant inside us for so much more, for healing, miraculous type of healing. Communicating with other species, be it animals, even plants, even insects, I mean all species, mind-to-mind communication. Some of this has been documented, a lot of it, in fact. When you the phone rings and you're able to just know who it is before you pick it up, or, there have been cases of where, mothers or spouses have suddenly had a feeling that they should call, the child or the spouse because they just feel that they're ill or there's some problem, and then it winds up being right. That's like an empathy kind of thing, from across the miles without actually being there. Because we form these bonds, and, the closer you are to someone, the easier it is to have that kind of empathy and unconditional love and compassion, and that's when it's strongest. But you can learn to have it for just anybody, and that's when these gates of these types of phenomena happen. But I think so many people, they live their lives being filled with stress and worry and doubt and fear, and that just blocks all of this stuff. And there's nobody really telling you. They're not telling you in schools, or even parents aren't used to this kind of stuff, telling their kids. Their doctors and hospitals aren't telling people these kind of things. It's like they're not learning anywhere. Like, you have so much potential to do so much more, to affect the things. There are actually, people who teach you. You can learn how to, move a paper clip across the table with just your mind without touching it. That's pretty, to me, just, wow, fascinating. So that's what that means to me, is that, yes, there's so much more that we're capable of doing, and we really need to start stepping into that. Because if we can do that, just think about how we can stop fighting, stop having wars, stop even making guns or bombs or any of that kind of stuff. Just stop making things in the world that are polluting our air and our environment. It's live more peaceful, live in harmony with our environment and each other. But until we really start to step into all of those abilities, drop the fear, drop the stress, drop the, I just have to go to a job and do a job that I don't like so I can make money to just barely get by. Do what you love. we have this brain inside our head, and they know that even geniuses only use about maybe 15%. The rest of us maybe, 8 or 9? So all the rest of that, it's not that it's there doing nothing. It's there for a reason. It's there for a purpose. And I believe it's all these abilities.
Right. I'm a strong believer in that everybody should bring out their talents. And everybody, when they start to live with their talents and their purpose, they automatically become happier and more wholesome in their life.
Yes, that's true. I've said this to many people, and I say it might sound a little strange, but I've never been happier since I had that brain tumor.
Right.
I wasn't the happiest person before. I was going to a job, and it's not like I hated being a broker. I actually liked researching the companies. That, to me, was fun. To having to get on the phone and sell, that, to me, was the opposite. I didn't like doing that. But yet I kept doing it because I thought I needed to just make money, and how else was I going to survive? I'm much happier now.
That's beautiful. One of the things I want to say to the listeners, we are recording this show live, so if anybody would like to call in, have a question or a comment for Suzanne, the number to call in is 718-766-4453. And that number again is 718-766-4453. And, Suzanne, in one of your chapters, I know you talk about soulmates. Do you want to elaborate on that? Because I know a lot of people are very interested in finding their soulmate. So I want to know, number one, what your definition of a soulmate is, and then how did this experience help you finding a soulmate?
Okay, well, soulmate, I know when you say soulmate, and I used to think this too, soulmate meant it was that one really special other person to be your romantic match through life. I actually used to believe that, you know, God just made us in pairs.
Right.
Maybe we didn't all come down to Earth at the same time. But at some point, it was your job to find that other half of yourself.
Right.
But soulmate, since then, I have come to believe is, soulmate is really anyone who helps you fulfilling your purpose, keeping you on your path. Whoever, you know, encourages you to move in a more positive direction can be a soulmate. So it can be a parent, a sibling, a friend, a coworker, a teacher. Now, in the book, I mentioned that. I mentioned something that happened with me that it was another one of those wow, and there was a lot of deja vu moments with this. I met somebody who I thought was going to be my romantic soulmate. Turned out that, no, I think this was somebody to help get me on my path, because this person really started me on making the energy healing business. He taught
right.
me so much. And I say I thought he was going to be a romantic soulmate because when we first met, I stood there like in a trance, and we both had our eyes locked in each other. And I it's like the whole room around us, to me, disappeared.
Right.
Like suddenly we were in Egypt, ancient Egypt, together in
right.
some underground pyramid room. it was I've never had something like that happen before or since, but that was an only thing. I mean, it turned out that we were like almost mirror images of each other in almost every single way. And shortly after I met him, a friend of mine wanted me to go for a reading with her from a psychic, which she knows down to shore, South Jersey.
Right.
I went with her, not expecting much, and oh my heavens, this woman, she did tarot readings, but she gave a lot of specific info. She told me, not exactly his name, but she told me what letter it would start with, how many syllables. She told me basically what type of profession he was in, his age, and she kept saying, the one, the one, the one. It's all I kept hearing for her. He's the one, he's the one, he's the one. She goes, oh, but there's somebody else. Oh, what is this? And, yeah, she was right. He was with somebody else, so he was not available. So that's when I took it to mean soulmate obviously must mean, at least in that case, that he was helping getting me going in my healing business. And that is, he helped me so much with that and encouraged me. Not only that, but I think, you know, I felt like right after my surgery when I saw that angel, I don't know, for some reason I kept feeling like, oh, Jesus is so important. Jesus is so important. And I didn't know, born a Christian and raised a Catholic, and I'm saying I don't know why, but I mean, I would see a picture of him and I would just, love was overwhelming. I would just start to cry. It's
mm-hmm.
as if I had some huge crush on Jesus. I'm like, well, this is strange. But I just felt like it's so important. But then as I got into you know, learning about the mediumship and learning about all these other things, I guess I kind of pushed it aside and didn't think much of it. Then meeting him, well, there were things that were leading me back to Jesus again. You know, really look at what he taught, what his teachings were, what his true teachings were, and follow them and live by them. So that's another thing I really think he helped with.
Okay, and just give the audience one of his true teachings.
Oh, well, I think I said before, you know, we're not supposed to look at anybody else as an enemy. Supposed to look on everybody with forgiveness and compassion, that we all come from the same one place. I'm not judging others. That's a big one. Oh, when you work with healing or doing any type of reading, like interspecies readings, if you have any kind of preconceived judgments, it's not going to work. You've got to get rid of that.
Right. And just to elaborate a little bit more on judgment, because I think people get confused when they hear that word judgment and really don't understand the full implementations of that word.
Okay. Well, judging somebody else, you know, putting maybe somebody else in a box. Well, if they're this, they must be this.
Right.
But like I think people, you know, maybe a lot of people might have with animals, like say there's the okay, dogs are loving, and all cats are standoffish. You know, that would be like I guess a judgment.
Right.
You know, somebody's sick, well, you know, they did this, so they're getting back
right.
what they deserve. That's the judgment.
So what you're really saying is quiet your mind to all criticism about other people and what has transpired in their life.
Yes, yes. No criticisms of any kind. It's unconditional love.
Right. Well, I like the word just love because love is just love. So I just I understand what you're saying about unconditional love. I just like calling it love. Let me ask you this, Suzanne. Because I know you went down to Brazil and you spent some time with John of God. Would you tell the listeners a little bit about who John of God is and what your experience was with John of God?
Oh, sure. Wow, that was another incredible experience. John of God is a healer, spiritual healer in Brazil, and he actually is a man. He again says that it is not him doing the healings. It's God working through him and different healing spirits working through him. And he actually goes into a trance and allows them to take over his body and do healings. And he has no memory of what has happened afterwards. Now, when I say do healings, sometimes it might be that there's a room maybe with 100 or so people meditating, and he'll just walk in and say, "You're all healed in the name of Jesus." At other times, he will ask if you want to have a visible surgery, and you have to answer a lot of questions, like as long as you don't have diabetes, as long as you don't have heart disease, as long as you're, you know, between 18 and I think 60. If you volunteer to have your surgery visibly, he actually takes a knife and will cut you somewhere. And it makes no sense. They've had doctors from all over the world go and watch up close what he does, but he's in a trance, he says, when he does these things. He's done things like he'll cut somebody's back, pull out material, which they've tested, and it is human material, human DNA there, and then somebody's brain tumor is gone. From the conventional system of medicine, it makes absolutely no sense. And then he'll stitch it back up. And there's no anesthesia when this is happening. He touches you, and you kind of go, "Oh," and you come up limp and peaceful. Now, I had one of those visible surgeries done because I just had to have this to see for myself. Even after all what was happening, I still wanted to prove it to myself that this was real. So I had to have it, you know, physically. And, yes, I can attest to, he cut you. Now, he used a paring knife on me, and he cut my eye. And, no, there isn't pain. And, yes, there is blood. A little bit, though, not as much as they would think. But the whole town is just a town of people from all over the world who go to see him for healings, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, just spiritual. He's there 3 days a week, every week. He does it free. He never charges. And it's basically where people are sitting in this building meditating for hours on end for the sake of their own healing and for everybody else who's there. And even for, you know, if he says it can be done from, you know, a distance, you can bring photos of, you know, family members or whoever back home might want healing who maybe couldn't make the trip to Brazil, and healings are done that way too, distantly. The whole town, you go to that town and you just walk out of the cab and you step onto the ground there, and I can't say it's as quite as intense as when I saw the angel, but that overwhelming feeling of peace just comes over you like, it was really incredible. That's all I can say. It was amazing. And it's the kind of thing people say, if you're meant to go there, just go. And don't worry even about if you have a place to stay. Because when I went, I wanted to go for 3 weeks.
Right.
I could only find one place where I could call. It's where they actually spoke English because they speak Portuguese there. And they only had an opening for me for, like, the first few nights that I was going to be there. But they said, oh, don't worry about it. If you're meant to be here, no, they'll find a place. Don't worry.
Right.
So I just went, not knowing where I was going to stay. And it all worked out. I mean, it was just an incredible trip.
And did you end up staying 3 weeks?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yep.
Okay. And during that 3 weeks, you just experienced him healing and doing more healing? Or just being in his vibration, I would imagine, is healing in itself?
Yes, it is. When you first go, you're given the choice, you know, there's a morning session, and then there's the afternoon session, and they're hours long each. So in the morning, if you're going to sit in meditation to help with all the healing, you go earlier. But then some people want to go walk before him and ask questions, you know, like, what should I do for this? And he'll tell you whether you need to go. There's a waterfall there they consider sacred. And you go and you actually stand under the waterfall, and they say this is supposed to help to, you know, cleanse and align your chakras. Or they have something called crystal baths. It's like a massage table you lay on, and these huge crystals, 7 of them, with the colored lights, and you lay on the table as they're supposed to be cleansing your aura. So he might tell you maybe you need that, or you just sit in meditation for a while. Or he'll tell you you're getting a surgery tomorrow in the morning, or, you know, Thursday in the afternoon.
Right.
But when you're walking towards him in this crowd,
right,
and you're walking between all the meditators, the closer you get to him, so often, it happens to so many people, just become so overwhelmed with, like, optimism, hope, no matter what it is, you cry. It's like an emotional
right.
release. I can't tell you how many people in that line are crying.
Right.
So it's amazing. The one day I was there, a woman who was sitting in meditation, all of a sudden, her leg opened up and started bleeding. She had a invisible surgery
right.
from one of the spirits, obviously. I mean, John God wasn't even near her.
Right.
So, yeah, all sorts of just miraculous healings and phenomena happened down there, too.
Right. And, you know, the one thing that I want to comment on, because you talked about, you know, you would see the pictures of Jesus and you would start crying almost instantly, and then, like, the tears in the line. The tears are very healing. And tears also, when something touches your heart, or when somebody touches your heart, it's natural just to shed tears of love and joy, because I know I become overwhelmed with tears all the time. So many times when somebody is helping me to get to the next level, help, you know, I get choked up because I feel their love, I feel their service. And I mean, that to me is the most beautiful thing that, you know, we can give to each other. And when we stop, you know, we are spiritual beings in a human body. And when we stop acting like human beings in a human body and realize that we're spiritual and that we're here to serve each other, bring our talents to each other, this could be an amazing place. And we can create a heavenly presence, just like you're talking about, just by shifting our consciousness and shifting the way we think.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, yes. I mean, I've noticed that, you know. I've walked around being in that state, that vibration, so it's possible.
Right, and this is why I think it's important for the listeners to visit Suzanne's website to purchase her book, because she has experienced this. And by listening to her and listening to how she has developed her love nature, her love consciousness, her book has something to offer us all. And so when we, as we start to grow and as we start to grow in our consciousness, it really becomes important for us to start supporting people who are putting out good, positive messages. Because so many times we'll listen to the news, we'll get bombarded by negativity, and then they're blasting us trying to sell products because the media is, I mean, because commercials are sponsoring that. Now it's time for us to start a grassroots movement and really start supporting people who've experienced this, who are doing the work. And I think from listening to Suzanne, you see where her heart's at. And it's real important to work with people whose hearts are in the right place, who want to bring love and service to the planet. And Suzanne, describe your book a little bit more, because, you know, we're close to the end. So just describe your book a little bit more, because we're in the last 5 minutes of the show. And just describe your book and what you want people to get out of it.
Okay, thanks. The book is basically my personal story with how I went from finding out I had a brain tumor, having the surgery and everything I went through recovering, having the angel appear to me, and how it actually, you know, changed my life around, how it put me on a totally different path, some place I never thought I would end up being or doing. So it's a lot of the personal, you know, little details, the stories, how things opened up for me, how these other abilities came. In the beginning, you know, there was the whole dealing with, you know, what other people were thinking of me. I think a lot of them thought I was losing my mind, and then it was brain surgery, so, well, you know. So I, you know, got past that, didn't let what people were telling me get in my way, following my heart, not being afraid to just go for what I want. You know, like I said, releasing the fear. I guess there was a point where I just jumped in my car after Katrina because I had a dream about a cat that was in need down in Louisiana. So I jumped in my car and just went down to Louisiana. Another thing, I didn't know where I was going, but, you know, followed my guidance. I did wind up hooking up with the group, but still, we didn't know where we were going. it turned out great, though. That was another awesome experience, helping with the animal rescues down there. There was, you know, reliving old wounds that were suddenly coming up, I guess, to get cleansed, and how I found that, you know, we're able to keep in touch with those who passed on. I mean, when I say keep in touch, I mean, I was asking for specific signals or signs on specific days and getting it. I mean, we're not talking about general kind of stuff of, you know, oh, I just had a dream and I think that was them. And no. I mean, really detailed, specific stuff. And I guess in the end, what I found it all comes down to, kind of like you were saying before, is the most important thing in this world, in our life, regardless of who you are and what you're doing, love.
Okay.
There's a phrase that has come to me again and again. I see it. I've heard it. All you need is love.
Exactly.
You know, like the Beatles song. That comes to me again and again and again.
Exactly. And one of the things you just said is just following your passion and just trusting, knowing that if you're doing something and you're doing something that is spirit-based, that everything will work out for you. Suzanne, we're down to about our last minute 30. And again, so I want you to tell people about your book launch on May 1st.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's May 1st. If you go to that website, aheavenlypresence.com/BK promo, you'll be able to purchase the book. You can read more about it. And you'll see I have a lot of people who partnered with me because they're trying to help me get it to be a Amazon bestseller. So the more people who buy on Tuesday, the better chance I have. And then, you know, once it becomes a bestseller, I guess, you know, word of mouth for then really could write about it and what I do. But a lot of people have partnered with me, so after you buy the book, they're offering all types of free gifts, gifts to help inspire you, to uplift, to empower you, you know, self-improvement, self-development type of things, healing type of gifts. Some people with little things about, you know, how to talk with your angels and how to communicate with animals. Just really some wonderful, wonderful gifts.
Suzanne, give your website one more time.
Okay. It's aheavenlypresence.com/B as in boy, K as in Kelly, P as in Peter, R as in Ralph, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, O as in Oscar.
Okay, I want to thank Suzanne O'Brien for sharing her knowledge and wisdom and her love with all my audience tonight. Thank you for listening, and have a great day. Bye. Hello?
I'm still here.
Okay, we're just about leaving. Thank you, though. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, I think we stopped recording. Let's just hang up. I'll call you back real quick for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Okay.